Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Tomahawk Take Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me on today's episode is Fred Owens.
Good evening!
And Fred, we obviously have had a very slow week here for the Atlanta Braves with two off days. Kind of weird at the end of April having these two off days. Normally, you know, you do have a lot of off days earlier in the season, but now that we're kind of at the end of April, kind of a weird break in the schedule with these two off days. So it almost feels like an all-star type of week. The Braves really aren't playing a ton of games. They did go to New York and were able to split a pair of games with the Yankees. So always nice to go up there and get a win against them, although they're struggling. Pretty much everybody's beating them right now. We're going to talk about some injury news on today's podcast. We'll also get into some bullpen discussion, and we'll talk about Riley, it's just a hot topic right now, and then we'll preview some of the upcoming series for the Braves. But let's jump into the injury updates because there are a lot of them. We'll start with the starting pitching, and two that concern me the most are obviously Max Fried and Mike Soroka, as they're currently not throwing and we don't have a timetable for when they could return. Brad, these are two guys, you know, expected to be top of the rotation starters for the Braves this year. So really hurts to be without them for any, you know, significant period of time. And really with Soroka, I mean, no telling when he could come back at this point.
Yeah, that's the problem with a shoulder. You never really know when it's going to be good enough to pitch again. Shoulders are an issue, and I worry about it because he lost 2018 with a shoulder. And now that shoulder's back again, and okay, maybe it's not related, maybe it is, but shoulder injuries tend to be dangerous, and if they keep being recurring, it could be a problem. Max Fried's injury, I'm not worried so much about that. That's a pulled muscle, and there I heard somewhere that he was maybe carrying that a little bit before he started the game, which would sort of explain why he wasn't his usual self for the first two games. So maybe that injury was there ahead of time. But if you give that time to heal, he'll be fine. I do worry most about Soroka than anything else. Chris Martin, he'll be back maybe next week. But those two starters bother me. Soroka bothers me more than Fried because I think Fried will be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, moving to the bullpen guys on the injuries list, Chris Martin, like you said, could be back next week. Sean Newcomb could be back next week as well. So certainly, you know, hopefully good news coming for them that we could get them back. The one starter I didn't mention, who maybe some people might not be quite as excited about him coming back, and that is Drew Smyly. He's going to be making his start on Saturday against the Cubs, coming back off the IL. So, Alan, I believe you have joined us now. What were your thoughts on some of the injuries and the Soroka and Fried injuries in particular? How worried are you about those, and are you excited about Smyly coming back off the IL this weekend?
Excited is exactly the word I might use. Smyly is who he is. He was supposed to be the innings eater, and some of the time he's been doing that, I guess, but he hadn't gotten a lot of support overall. The real thing I kept thinking of this week with the injuries and such is that, you know, we've been right. We've talked about the fact that there isn't a whole lot of depth to this team, and if we got a bunch of injuries, then we might be in some trouble. And that has befallen us, although it turns out there was some trouble even before that started. But the real trick is that we don't have a lot of depth, and if these guys don't hit, then there's not going to be a lot of support coming from the pitching side. The thing last year is that the team was built more or less around the bullpen. I think it was essentially understood at that point that we were not real good shape in the starting rotation, and the bullpen had to pick everything up. That more or less happened. This year, there was an emphasis on the starting pitching, and less on the bullpen. And I think we've seen how the bullpen failures have contributed to some of the losses that we've seen here. And so that sort of calls into question, to me at least, the thinking about how to construct this roster to begin with. I think it was a little penny wise and pound foolish, at least in some respects that way. And now we've seen what happens when you get injuries in the bullpen to compound the fact that we're a little short of the bullpen. So overall, we've got a team that's not entirely squared away yet still. They haven't found their groove, haven't found a track, and it's been because of stuff like this. And it's just going to be a continued pattern unless they go out and figure out how to get things patched together until, I guess, probably the trading deadline, and then see what happens at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could say hindsight is 2020, but, I mean, Braves fans and a lot of Braves, even beat writers were talking in the offseason, you know, you spent $11 million on Drew Smyly, but you didn't do anything to fix this bullpen. Or not really fix the bullpen, but just to back it up. I mean, they had good arms out there. I mean, I felt good about the bullpen coming into the season, but I knew if one of those top four guys, you know, in Will Smith, Chris Martin, AJ Minter, and Luke Matzek, you know, got hurt, or if they had regression, because obviously they kind of, you know, as far as Matzek and Minter kind of surprised us last year, you know, one of those guys get hurt, one of them regresses, then this bullpen's in trouble, and that's essentially what has happened so far. So, and Newcomb's been, you know, a good surprise out there in that bullpen. I shouldn't even say surprise. He's been good when he's been in that bullpen role, but certainly has been good to see him out there. Unfortunate, you know, that he's had to sit out the past couple of games. But, yeah, the bullpen has been an issue. We knew it possibly could be coming into the season. But it'd be interesting to see how that gets fixed up going forward. Was there something else you wanted to add, Alan?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking it's about the construction of the team. And I have to wonder if part of that was just a philosophy change to emphasize the starting pitching more than the bullpen, knowing that they couldn't spend the money on both, perhaps. And if that's the case, then that explains it. It doesn't necessarily excuse it, but it at least explains it. The fact that if you spend the money in one area and you don't have it for another area, then you know you're going to take some hits there. Last year, they essentially had only ability to bolster the bullpen, and they certainly did in a big way. They were spending a lot of money on those guys. Melancey got $14 million plus, I think it was, on his contract, and Will Smith got a bunch as well. So it's just a matter of where you want to put the emphasis, and it also continues to point to the fact that there's a lot of teams, and the Atlanta Braves are one of them, that are still in a bit of financial bind after what happened last year.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but they spent $11 million on Drew Smyly, and there's relievers out there, good relievers, that you could have gotten for less than $5 million. So,
and a good backup catcher for less than $2 million, probably,
yeah.
That which may, in fact, say how little they've got left here.
Yeah, so, and that's not a knock on Drew Smyly. I think he can be a solid, you know, middle to back of the rotation guy, but you could have gotten another guy just like that for a lot less and still had some money left over to get in the bullpen. But that's an off-season discussion. But, I want to get into it a little bit more, though, and Fred, and get your take on it as well, because, you know, what Alan's talking about and what I've kind of, you know, been thinking about myself is that AA's kind of become reactionary with his moves. You know, the Braves bullpen's bad one season. Okay, this off-season, let's fix the bullpen. Well, the starting pitching got decimated this season. Okay, this off-season, let's fix the starting pitching. He seems to be reactionary instead of, you know, trying to get ahead of this and knowing that you're going to have, you know, you're going to need depth in all areas in order to win a World Series. So to me, just how things have kind of worked out, he seems to be working more reactionary with his moves.
Yeah, I don't think he's, I don't want to say this the wrong way because I have no idea. I couldn't do his job. I don't want to up front. None of us could do that job because we don't know what's going on. However,
amen.
From the outside, it looks like since his forays into the market in Toronto didn't exactly work aside from Josh Donaldson, he looks like he's worried about making that big faux pas at a place that can afford it less than Toronto could. Rogers Communications and the Rogers family were putting money into it at the time, and they gave him the go-ahead to do that. And it didn't work exactly like he wanted. They got to the postseason, and they couldn't close the deal. That's not his fault. But Troy Tulowitzki, yeah, that's probably a mistake. David Price did work all that well for him. They gave away a lot of the future. He traded for he signed Thor and then traded him to the Mets for our knuckleballing friend. And so R.A. Dickey's a good man, but man, Thor throws 98. I don't want that necessarily. So I wonder if there's some of that in it. He knows that he could push the Toronto payroll to 175, 180 million, 190 million, and he knows that the Braves market is not going to hold that because they don't generate that kind of local income, and you can't keep going in the hole every year. People want to say, well, LAFC could throw money in that. Well, no, they can't. They can't keep throwing money in that and losing it every year. They're not going to get it back for 10. And no individual owner is going to do that either, by the way. So I think that there's part of that, but I also think he's made some judgments based on statistics that I like the Nate Jones things. I was good with Jones because they said, well, his spin rate's up. He's looking good. He only threw X amount of innings, but boy, they were good innings. And boy, I would dump him in a minute for a good old In-N-Out burger. I think he's too homer prone. And I noticed that Cam Bedrosian's free agent. And boy, I'd sure like to have a Cam Bedrosian on the team. But the depth all the way around, and Smith hasn't been Smith. You know, he just hasn't been the guy. I don't know that he's any better in the ninth inning than some of the guys we used to have when Bobby was there that let us down. So, I mean, he's good, and then he's just horrid. And his fastball isn't very good. So, I don't know. The depth is shaky everywhere, from my opinion. And the bullpen certainly needs a good right-handed arm.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know how an injury update turned into all that, but certainly that was a really good discussion, and I think it speaks to a lot of the frustrations that Braves fans are having early in the season. But the last piece of injury news is Ronald Acuña Jr. We're still waiting to see how he feels. I have a feeling he could be back this weekend, but as I told Fred before we started recording, that's a little bit of selfishness on my part because I'll be at the games this weekend. So hopefully Ronald is back, but more than anything, you just definitely want to make sure that he is healed up completely before he makes his return. Next, I wanted to kind of get into the offensive struggles a little bit, and specifically I want to talk about two guys in the lineup that I think are very key to this offense getting going. I spoke, before the season, the idea that either one of Austin Riley or Dansby Swanson had to step up in order for this offense to be a deep lineup and be a very good offense. Obviously, we expect the guys at the top, those first four hitters to be really good. But in order for this offense to be elite, I thought that, either Dansby or Riley had to step up, have that big season, and really help this offense in the middle to back of the lineup. And so far that hasn't happened, although a lot of people are excited about what Riley has done lately. And I'm excited for the walks. He's getting on base. I mean, he has a 375 on base percentage. He's hitting 250, which is actually one of the better averages on the team right now, but I think that's a little bit deceiving. He's not making a lot of hard contact right now, but Fred, I know we kind of talked about it a little bit before we started recording, but those two guys specifically, they just haven't gotten the job done, and it's still early. You can still give that excuse for them, but the bats haven't looked good. Swanson in particular is a little concerning to me, and I've always been a huge fan of his. I mean, my bold prediction was he was going to make the All-Star team, but he looks terrible at the plate right now. He just looks completely lost, and, I keep hoping he'll get it together. The Braves certainly need him to. I mean, they don't have anybody else that can play shortstop to fill in behind him. So you know, the Braves really need to get him going. But Fred, those two guys in particular, Riley and Swanson, have not stepped up like we were hoping. And I think that speaks to a lot of the struggles that this offense is having.
Yeah, I think on Swanson's part, sometimes he tries to do more than he needs to do. He had one time he had stopped swinging for all at all those sliders. In fact, his chase rate was really 94th percentile. Of all the people out there chasing all the batters out there, the qualified hitters, he was in the 94th percentile, which means he didn't chase very much, but he seems to be looking to do more the more the people around him do less. Ozzy, for example, the guy I said, like you were up for Swanson, I really wanted Ozzy to make his mark this year, and he's struggling really badly. And I think that for Swanson's behalf, that's part of the issue with him. He just looks like he he's trying to do so much. He hasn't looked that bad at the plate for me since 2018. And, I think he could turn that around if somebody sit down and say, look, you, that's not what you do. Get out there and do what you do and let everybody else worry about everybody else. Riley's home run, I'm really glad he hit it because I know that made him feel good. You could see it when he ran the bases. It pumped him up. But Riley's barrel rate is in the 12th percentile. His average exit velocity is in the 8th percentile. That's the wrong end of the level. And he's walking a lot, yay, and he's not striking out a lot. But he does have a 32nd percentile whiff rate, which is in the wrong end of the scale. He's not making hard contact. His max exit velocity when he hits it is good, but most of the time he's not hitting it hard. And Riley has to hit the ball hard, to do damage because he's not going to beat out many infield singles. But he's not going to beat out many infield singles, mostly because when he hits the ball, the infield is a dribbler. So I worry about Riley's bat because he's not squaring the ball up, and when he does, he's not hitting it that hard. And that's really fairly easy to see. Ozzy's is bad. Ozzy's not he's in the 25th percentile for barrels, but that's twice as good as Riley, and that ain't good. I mean, that's still not good. I want him to be the guy, but he just doesn't. He looks so uncertain. He looks like everybody's told him all these things, and he just can't decide which one's the right one to do.
You got to wonder if he's getting in his head. I've talked about it before. It's like he doesn't know what kind of hitter he wants to be, and it's like he's stuck in between. Is he going to be the guy, you know, that tries to hit 260 and have a 350 on base, or is he the guy that's going to hit 30, 40 home runs and maybe have a lower average? I feel like he's stuck in between. He doesn't know what type of hitter he wants to be, and the Braves need him to be that 30 home run bat. I mean, that's apparent to me. I don't care if he hits.
Absolutely.
I don't care if he hits 240, 230, as long as he hits 30 home runs. I mean, that's what the Braves need him to be. So I don't know. To me, when I watch him, like I said, it doesn't seem like he knows what he wants to be in that box right now. He's stuck in between.
He's got the weirdest stat line I think I've ever seen here. He's walking 11% of the time. That's good. He's striking out 20.3% of the time. That's actually not bad. His ISO power, 0.58. His exit velocity, you know, Fred mentioned percentiles. It's 5 miles per hour lower than the next best position player right now. It's that bad. It's 84.7 miles an hour. And that speaks to the fact that he's got a 250 average because he's hit a couple of dribblers behind first base. I like the fact that he seems to be send balls toward right field, but I don't know that it's working for him. I mean, when he was hitting bombs the last couple of years, they were going to left field. Maybe they've gotten to him and decided that going all out to be a pull hitter is too much for him, but it may have messed him up in the process. I really don't get what he's doing, and I don't know that he gets it either, for that matter, because whatever he's doing is not working. As far as Dansby goes, he's actually looking better on the stat line than Marcel right now in most respects. Dansby is striking out almost a third of the time, though, and that's easily the worst on the team. Marcel's at 29%, and neither one of them are really doing the kind of thing you'd expect. You know, Fred, you mentioned something about Dansby trying to do too much. I was thinking about that when you said it, and I kind of wonder if he's looking behind him in the lineup and the guys on deck and in the hole, and it's like, well, gee, if I don't do something big here, nobody's going to do something, and then trying to do too much and getting nothing for it. It seems like he and those guys at the bottom of the lineup realizing that they're the black hole, and Dansby's the one that's trying to do something about it. He at least has an exit velocity of 90 miles an hour, so when he hits the ball, he hits it solid, but he's not getting rewarded for it. Still, he's got too much of a whiff rate, and that's clearly hurting him, especially in the last week or so. It's not very good at all.
If I can jump on that, I think that if you look at the guys at the bottom of the lineup that have been producing, Heredia, Sandoval, Adrianza, those are the guys who know they're playing for next year. They're just going out and having fun because they're not supposed to be starting.
Right.
They're supposed to be the guys on the bench, and when they get out there, they just give it hell. I mean, when Snitker told Heredia he wanted him to swing more, man comes up and drops two bombs on him the next night. Okay? Because, hey, the boss says, swing away. I'm going to swing. And by golly, he did. And I think they don't feel the pressure that Ozzie and Dansby are feeling right now because they know that they've done better and can do better. And I think you hit that. That is an excellent point that these guys that did better in 2018, 2019, and they look around them and they say, oh, my gosh, you know, Marcel's not hitting and Riley's not found his stroke yet. And Darno, he can't be – he's good, but he can't catch every day. And we got to do something. And it's just, you know, do what you can do and let the rest of them do what they do and hope it works out because it's not your job to fix them. But they just Dansby's a smart baseball guy. Ozzie's sharp. And they look out there and they say, man, I got to raise this. I got to raise my game. Yeah. I got to raise my game. And the more you do that, the worse it gets.
Yeah,
I think so. You mentioned the guys that are the pinch hitters and bench guys getting out there and getting their hits. They're playing with house money. I mean, the fact mm-hmm. that they got a job is a plus. So, yeah, that rings true to me, too, is that every swing they get is a gift, and they might as well take advantage of it. So, yeah, they're playing with no pressure. The rest of the guys, big pressure.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to think, you know, the biggest concern coming into the season for a lot of us was the bench, and I don't know where we'd be without the bench right now, without Pablo, without Adrianza. You know, them and Acuna and Freddie to some degree have been pretty much the offense this year. And I look at Freddie's stat line too. He's walked 16 times this year and only struck out 8, but it tells you that pitchers know the rest of the Braves offense is struggling too. And especially without Acuna in the lineup, teams just aren't pitching to Freddie.
And they're not scared of Ozuna.
No, that's what I'm saying. They know how bad the rest of the lineup behind him is, so why would you pitch to the NL MVP? So, and Freddie's good. He's going to take his walks. I mean, Dansby and Riley should kind of learn from that to take what the team is giving you. And Riley's taking his walks. He's done a good job there. But, you know, Freddie's not trying to do too much. He's taking his walks. He's, you know, doing what he has to do, knowing that he doesn't have any protection behind him in the lineup, which is just kind of sad to see, but, you know, Marcel will get it going. I believe that he's kind of a slow starter, even started slow last year for the Braves. And I got to remember, you know, we're only 3 weeks into this season right now, but certainly would love to see them get going. Somebody else I didn't mention as far as injury wise is Christian Pache. We were talking about that bottom of the lineup. It sounds like he's back to normal activities. So, and just working things out at the alt site. So, you know, he could be back soon as well. I don't really know exactly what that does for the offense, but just thought I would mention it as we were doing.
Would you bring him back or would you play Heredia? I'd play Heredia.
Yeah, I would too, just because of the start that Pache had, and you kind of have a built-in excuse to leave him down there and let him continue to get healthy. You know, I worried earlier before the season if he struggled like he has, and then demoting him, what that kind of does to his confidence a little bit, but now that you had an injury, you kind of have a built-in excuse to send him down, allow him to get healthy and work on his swing a little bit, you know, work on the things that he saw while he was up here. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way I would do it. And, you know, they got the AAA season starting here pretty soon where he can get some at bats and work on some things. So I certainly wouldn't rush it. But I do think he comes back and comes back fairly soon just because of what he gives you defensively and because I really want to see Ronnie stay in right field. So I think he does come back eventually, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Braves slow play that one a little bit. Next, we'll kind of preview the upcoming series for the Braves. They got the Diamondbacks this weekend. Like I said, I'll be at the Friday night game for this series, so looking forward to that. It looks like it's going to be a little chilly. But Waskar Ynoa is pitching on Friday against Luke Weaver. And then on Saturday, you got Drew Smyly returning from the IL, facing off against Madison Bumgarner in his 8.68 ERA. Alan, that could be a game for the Braves.
He'll shut us out.
yeah, that's probably what will happen. But with all the righties that the Braves have, that could be a good chance for them to get going, Alan, against somebody like Mad Bum, who has certainly struggled since putting on that Diamondbacks uniform.
Yeah, though we're hitting the Diamondbacks at the wrong time since they've now won four in a row.
I think they scored like 14 on Thursday or something. So.
4 hour yeah, they, 42-minute game, though.
Yeah.
14 pitchers.
Yeah, well, they pretty much destroyed Cincinnati, took them out of first place, and you got to wonder if a team comes in with some momentum, what they're going to do, because now it becomes unpredictable. The Diamondbacks are still 9-10, and they should be beatable, but I have no idea what we're going to get out of this series. I got to admit, because you don't know who's going to be fully healthy. You don't know how the Braves are going to react to who they've got on the field. You don't know what this Arizona team is thinking now that they've gotten away from the Dodgers and Padres and don't have to worry about those guys for a while. Heck, the trip east is probably good for them. So I do worry about teams like this, but hey, we'll see what happens. I really don't know what else to say there.
Yeah, no, it is going to be interesting. And yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, Alan. Don't know what to expect. I mean, we have Ynoa, Smyly, and Bryce Wilson on the mound. So certainly not what you would have imagined going into the season. But it's still a winnable series, like you said. And I wrote about this on Thursday. The Braves have the opportunity with the schedule the rest of April to finish the month off strong. Fred, they got 3 with Arizona at home and then 4 with the Cubs, which the Cubs offense is starting to break out a little bit as well, which is kind of scary. And then they end the month against Toronto in Dunedin, Florida. But some winnable games here for the Braves, Fred, to hopefully finish off this month strong and hopefully get a winning record out of April.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks used a ton of pitchers today. And I don't think that they want to get into their bullpen at all. Now, Weaver's probably the best they can throw at us right now, judging by who's on the list to throw at us. If you can get into their bullpen early on Friday, then you can set the tone for the weekend and get a couple of games out of that real quick. But if they get into our bullpen early on Friday, they can do the same thing. I don't want to be negative about this, but I'm trying to be realistic about it. They used everything in their arsenal today in a 4 hour and 24 minute game that was apparently 1 in the 10th inning, triple and a 3 run home run or something. But still, that lifts them up, but they still had to use all those pitchers and go just every pitcher they had in the 8 relievers or 7 starters and a reliever, started 7 relievers, their bullpen's going to be tired and they can't just call anybody up. They got the taxi squad, but that's about it. We've had a day off. Hopefully we're rested because that's good. And if Ronnie comes back at the top of the lineup, he makes a ton of difference up there because they can't get around Ronnie because Freddie's behind him. So if those two can do damage, and maybe we can get Darno, some new legs or something for him hitting the 4th spot, we'll be all right. I think we can take a pair from this series. I think we can beat Bumgarner, but we got to get in the bullpen to do it. The rest of the month is the same way with the Cubs. You've got to get in the Cubs bullpen. You can't let Trevor Williams beat you, again. I mean, geez. And, I really don't know how we let that happen. But yeah, we could come out of this month pretty good considering what the way it's been and all the injuries we had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Jake, I think you're going to end up with some fun run scoring tomorrow, perhaps. Note that Arizona is one of three teams that scored 100 runs, but they've also given up 103. They're the only team that's done that in triple digits. So look out for all the pitchers. Damage control is going to be at a premium.
So you're telling me if I want to keep my two-year-old up for the fireworks on Friday night, it's going to be a late one?
Good luck with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have fun with that. Is mom going along? Because mom's going to tell you, we got to go catch.
Yeah. No more cotton candy or anything. So, should be fun, though. Be excited to get back out to the ballpark. But these are, like I said, these are games the Braves, you would think coming in the season, should win. These are series the Braves should win, but we just don't know. That's what's frustrating part of the Braves right now is we can't figure this team out from day to day. But Alan, that was everything we were going to talk about. I know you were late joining the podcast. Was there anything that you wanted to discuss or mention before we get out of here?
Sorry, I bought a new toy and I was playing with it and I lost track of time. not really. The only other thing I was thinking of earlier today was the fact that there've been some things that we've been right about and there's some things that I know I've been wrong about. And Christian Pache was one of those in that I figured that there's no way he could do any worse than enter Inciarte on the offensive side. And somehow he's managed to do that. So yeah, I kind of with Fred in that I like this idea of keeping him down at the training site to see if we can get his stroke back, get his confidence back, and then see if we can unleash him at that point. But my concern is that Heredia, you know, was not a starter for a reason, and he'll be exposed if we leave him out there too long. But while he's going, hey, let's go with a hot hand. I mean, I've heard that from too many managers, but
yeah,
it may work in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, let it ride. I'm certainly a believer in that as well. And let Pache continue to heal up and work on some things. I think that's the right way to go with it. You mentioned Ender. I didn't want to get out of here before we do talk about it. Just really heartbreaking to see him get injured again, especially when he's been playing pretty well for the Braves this year. I mean, you could see him tears just going in the dugout. Really just heartbreaking. I know, you know, Braves country has had their battles with Ender, especially, and me and myself, I've had a love-hate relationship with him, but certainly, you know, we wish the best for all of these players and want to see them stay healthy and want to see them perform to their capabilities. So just really sad to see Ender go down again with that leg injury. I haven't really heard too much about it since then, but it certainly didn't look good. Ender, you know, obviously was very upset about it, so I'm expecting pretty bad news on him. So just again, hate to see that for Ender, and hate to end this podcast on kind of a sour note, but there's been a lot of injuries for the Braves, unfortunately, to start this season. But hopefully the Braves are getting those injuries out of the way. They'll be pre-selling from here on out once everybody comes back. And hopefully Braves can finish off this month strong. Like I said, I think they have the opportunity to do so. If they could finish April with a winning record with the way things have gone, I think that would be a pretty great accomplishment. But that will do it for this episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast. Make sure that you go to tomahawktake.com website to check out all of our articles on there. You can read articles from me and Alan and Fred and a lot of other great writers at tomahawktake.com. And make sure you subscribe to the Tomahawk Take podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
This has been the Coming Up With Explanations edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast, which is a production of TomahawkTake.com and FansEdit LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of the participants, because Minute Media has pretty much washed their hands on the whole affair. All rights reserved. Two of the musical selections used today come to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. These were pieces by Kevin MacLeod entitled Batty McFadden and Open Those Bright Eyes. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Hey, thanks for tuning into the podcast today, and We hope that your therapy rabbits are perhaps a little easier to carry around than maybe some others we've seen lately. Hopefully you'll let us go another inning next time around. We'll see y'all then.